Well, could you open your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 6. The Gospel of John, and chapter 6, we'll be looking at the 47th verse of John, chapter 6. Before I read the verse, maybe you've had this happen to you, I don't know. One time, I was driving into a section of town, a city that I didn't know the directions where I was going. I got kind of lost, mixed up. But I stopped and I asked somebody, I said to him, "Hey guy, do you think you could help me? I'm kind of lost, I'm looking for some directions." Well, the guy told me some directions, you know, go this direction, do this, that, that. And then he said to me, "I think that's the way, and I hope you get there." And he walked away. You know, I want to say, God is such a great God that it's not iffy. It's not hope, an empty hope. It's not a chance that we can say that we have eternal life. But God has given us directions. He's told us how. And He's given us assurance of our faith. This morning, just for about the next 10, 12 minutes, we're going to look at the question, am I truly born again? Am I truly saved? Another way of saying, am I going to heaven or am I not? Am I a true Christian? It's an important subject. It's one that we need to face and ask that question to ourselves and deal with. Chapter 6 and verse 47. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." In this one verse, we have three important things to take into account. First of all, it says, "He that believeth on Him," speaking of Jesus. We sang a number of songs about that this morning, that our Lord Jesus Christ, the rock, the hope, our hope is in Him. He's the object of our faith. Our faith, we put our faith into a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not into a group, not into a bunch of religious laws, not into a bunch of regulations, not in the fact that we come to church every Sunday. We might even come to church on Thursday nights. Isn't that great? That doesn't save us. What saves us is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's His work. It's what He's done for us. The question comes, how does this warrant being safe and secure? Well, I thought of a ship. I thought of a captain of a ship. You know, he doesn't anchor his ship by throwing the anchor in the air and having it land in the middle of the ship, does he? His anchor is outside of the ship. That's what keeps him safe and secure in the bay. What keeps us safe and secure this morning, if you're in Jesus Christ, that's why you're safe and secure. If you don't have Jesus Christ this morning, you're not safe or secure. If you should die when you leave here, would you be going to heaven? If you're not in Christ, no. It's based on Him. Question is, how do I know that I'm truly born again? Well, one of the witnesses, you might say, we're safe and secure in His Word, the Bible. It says here, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." Jesus says unto us. We have the Word of God that tells us how and in whom we need to have faith to go to heaven. See, it's the sprinkled blood that makes us safe. It's the blood of Jesus that He shed on the cross that gives us assurance of our salvation. It's the spoken word, though, that makes it definitely sure. We base it on this, the Word of God. We see the object of our faith, and we see the basis of our faith, and that's in the Word. The Word teaches us and tells us in 1 John 5:13, "These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life." Not guess. Not maybe. But you might know that you have eternal life. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." It's not a guesswork. The directions have been given. If we believe on him, we have everlasting life. Isn't that great? We need to trust his word. An illustration, an example. A man dies down the street, a good friend of yours, Joe. And one man comes in to tell you, you didn't know anything about it. You're sitting there. And this guy comes walking in, his first guy, and he's a known liar. He's never been known to tell the truth. And he walks in and he looks at you and he says, "You know, Joe died down the street." And he walks out. Well, you're going to sit there and you're going to say to yourself, do I really believe what he's saying or do I not? Well, another guy comes walking in. He's been known to exaggerate the truth. He's been known to jump to conclusions. And he says to you, "You know, Joe died down the street." And you say, now maybe I should take this into account. Maybe not. He's known for exaggerating. And then a third man walks in shortly afterwards. And this man, he's known for being honest. This man, you know you can trust him. He always tells the truth. He comes in and says, "You know, Joe died down the street. He had a heart attack." The difference in each case had nothing to do with the feelings within yourself. You doubted the first person. You doubted maybe the second person. When the third person came who was honest, you believed in what he said. The belief, the faith, was not based on anything eternal, internal. It was based on an external thing. Our faith is based on the assurance. It's based on what the Word of God says. And it's in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, the key question here is, really, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth." Believeth. What does believe mean? Believe means being persuaded, convinced. Believe means trusting fully in. See, talking here about, there is one action we must do to be saved. And that action is we must believe. That's it. Believe. Believe what? Believe the gospel. Believe Jesus Christ, who he is. What he is, that he died on the cross for our sins. And that 3 days later he arose again from the dead. Believe that he was buried. And that he died and rose up. That he was God in the flesh. Believe in the word of God. And you can live a life based on the belief in that person of Jesus. The question really is, how do I know I truly believe? How do I know it? Let me just give you an example. A couple of weeks ago, I was with a young man. And I had my back turned to what was going on behind me. So I don't know what happened. And I don't know who it was that walked behind me. But he was looking over my shoulder. And all of a sudden, I heard these words. "I believe I'm in love." And I assumed that a nice-looking girl was walking behind me. And he said, I'm sure he wasn't saying that about me. But you know, that belief was a pretty empty belief. There was no action on it. Probably never see that person again. Recently, I was reading I was in California for the year, reading in some surveys. It was interesting. It was 3 different articles. I was just looking up some things. One said that 88% of all people in this country believe on Jesus Christ. Another one said about 70%, another one said about 60%. I find that to be questionable, those surveys. Why? Because the objective test of reality of their faith, if all these people say that they believe in Jesus Christ, then a certain thing would happen in this country. Our society would live under certain principles if there was true belief. It's questionable. See, there's a difference between professing faith and saving faith. The Bible tells us that in James. It says, even the demons believe. Jesus himself said, there will be those who will come into heaven and will knock on the door and say, hey, Lord, didn't I know you? Didn't I prophesy in your name? Didn't I heal people in your name? And the Lord's going to turn to them and say, depart from me, for I knew you not. Paul tells the Corinthians to examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Now, to take it in context there too, we need to keep the verses in context. He's saying it in dealing with specifically the fact that the Corinthians were questioning the apostleship of the Apostle Paul, were questioning his authority. And what he was telling them is, if you are my proof, if you are in the faith, because I am the one who brought you the message, and the message I brought you is what you believe. And if you're not, if I'm not in the faith, then you're not either. Check it out. Examine yourselves. And folks, this morning, we need to examine ourselves where we stand. Well, how can we? We have three tests that we can do. There's an inward test. An inward test. The inward test is a subjective test, and it's unreliable. We find in Romans 8:16 that the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit. It's unreliable. It's subjective. But we have other tests as well. The second test that we could do with ourselves is based on the Word of God. The Word of God says that if you believe in the things that are written within the book, you have eternal life. If you believe in the person of Jesus Christ, whom the book is all about, you have eternal life. That's the two of them. But there's also a third one, the one I brought out before, the objective test of reality. What's happening in your life? See, if we believe in Jesus Christ, we will then be convinced that it is the truth, and we will live our life accordingly. Things like, do we confess Christ? It tells us that in Romans chapter 10. Do we obey the Word of God? Tells us that in 1 John chapter 2 that if we are in the faith, we would obey his word. Do we not love the world and the things of it? Tells us that in 1 John chapter 2 verse 15. Do we have good works? You know, we've been created for good works. Not that the good works save us, but the good works tell us where our faith is. Are we practicing righteousness? Do you have love for fellow believers? I met someone recently who said that they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, but they didn't want to hang around with a single believer. They spent their total time with people who love the world, and they joined in with them. There's a question there. I'm not saying that the person isn't saved. I'm saying that there's a question, and we need to examine our lives if we're doing those things. A person who believes in Jesus Christ will affirm Christ's deity, that he is God in the flesh. He would be willing to admit and confess sins as a believer. He would manifest the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, etc. He would not be self-righteous. He'd be willing to forgive others. And also, he would be a person who doesn't practice sin. Now understand that. That doesn't mean that we're not sinners. We are. But let me ask you this question. If you are known for your sin, there's a problem. If you're a person who people, when they look at you and say, hey, I know him for his sin, and when they first see you, they say, hey, and they think of that sin that you're involved with, there's a question. Because the Bible says we would not be abiding in sin or practicing in sin. And that's 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. We have those three tests. Now there might be some here who doubt their faith. And the Bible teaches us that we need to be careful of that. We are sure of our salvation. It's in Jesus Christ. Examine. If we are doubting in our faith, if it's because we are lacking faith in Jesus, or if we're lacking faith in the Word of God, we need to get on our knees and we need to pray and ask forgiveness and just get ourselves straight on that subject. But if you're doubting your faith, maybe too, you may not know the Lord is your Savior. And maybe it would be good to get on your knees and to say, Lord, I am a sinner, and today, right now, I want to accept you as my Savior. And if you haven't done that, or if you're doubting, do it. There's a difference between a doubting Christian and an unsaved professor. A doubting Christian is one who's usually concerned about his relationship to God. An unsaved professor, someone who says they believe, but and has no doubts whatsoever. He's careless, confident about his relationship with God. Be careful if you're careless and confident about that. Be careful if you vigorously affirm your salvation in the face of contrary evidence. If you find out that the objective test of reality, you're totally off on that, but you're going to walk around and say, I am definitely saved. Be careful of that. Be careful. A person who's a professor and not saved, does not have saving faith, but often is critical of the church and blames Christians for many of the problems, and definitely shows no recognition of need at those times. A person who's a professor and not a doubter will get upset when a person asks them, how are things going spiritually? Be careful if you fall into that group. Our safety and our security hangs upon the Christ's work of the cross. Our assurance rests upon God's word to us. If there's a question about our salvation, your salvation today, clear it up. There's a lot of people to talk with. I'll be willing to talk with you. Time to pass the classes. I believe the men and the ladies are staying here and the college and career. All of the classes passed, and the rest of you can move up for Sunday school.